Welcome to Legal Keys, unlocking time, revenue, and results. The podcast that connects you with the people, technologies, and trending topics shaping the modern legal landscape. From cutting-edge AI innovations to high-growth marketing strategies and everything in between, Legal Keys is your go-to resource for actionable insights. Brought to you by Faster Outcomes and hosted by Tim Sawyer, two-time Inc. 500 co-founder entrepreneur. We're here to help you navigate the tools and trends driving success in today's legal world.
Hello, welcome to Legal Keys. I'm your host, Tim Sawyer. For our first-time listeners, we want to welcome you. And for those of you who continue to listen and support us, we thank you and welcome you back. As you know, Legal Keys is sponsored by Faster Outcomes. Faster Outcomes is the ultimate AI intelligence platform for law firms and legal professionals of all shapes and sizes. And when people ask, what does Faster Outcomes do? I often hear them say, what we love to do is give lawyers more time to do the things they love. If that's crush your competition, good for you. If that's to get home a little earlier to help put the kids to bed, we believe that's noble as well. You would not believe, I think I've been waiting my entire life doing podcasts for the past 10 years for this moment, for this guest, and oh boy, we have a legal legend at Legal Keys today with over 25 years of experience, and I've personally known our guest for about that same amount of time. Rob Levine is a distinguished attorney and the driving force behind Rob Levine Law, a firm dedicated to fighting for personal injury, Social Security, and veterans disability clients, known for his relentless pursuit, and that is an understatement. Rob has built a reputation for delivering results for his clients across Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, and nationwide for disability claims. Beyond his legal practice, Rob's passion for helping others succeed, which I have personally seen and have been mentored by Rob for decades now, and I'm grateful for that. Others succeed and extends to law firms nationwide through Rob Levine Legal Solutions, which I can't wait to talk about, offering innovative services designed to streamline operations and drive growth. And then this is the part that I think is really cool. Your dedication to community service is further supported by your background as a retired police officer, former military police officer, paramedic, and ski patroller, fueling your advocacy for safety and service. Rob enjoys skiing, staying active, exploring new challenges. He is the man, and I'm grateful. Rob, we really appreciate, I know looking at this schedule in front of me, we really appreciate you taking the time today. It means a lot.
Well, thank you so much. That is quite the buildup. I'm not sure I can live up to everything you said, but we'll give it a whirl.
And I have to start right out of the gate. So I'm in Rhode Island now. We're going to talk about your law firm in Rhode Island, your success in New England. And I want to come right out and say, I've got three children. They're aged 29, 27, and 24. And when I talk about Rob Levine, and I was telling them that we were going to get together and do this podcast, to put this in perspective for people who live outside of Rhode Island, I was fortunate enough for a long time when the Patriots were really on a run to have a luxury box. If I said to my kids, you have two choices today, you can go and go to luxury box, or you could be an extra in a Rob Levine commercial, it would be a wipeout. They would absolutely say, we want to be in Rob's commercial. And they've said that.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. The advertising has really taken off, and the jingle, which we actually just recently switched, but we've become a household name in Rhode Island. We're lucky. And now, obviously, growing into the Boston DMA and doing the same thing there, the goal is to repeat that success.
And I am confident that you will. And which speaks to, and I know you have a lot of confidence too, but at the beginning, it was humility, right? So the work that you did in police force and as an EMT, talk about that and how that, a couple of things. How did that come about? And then what made the switch to get you to head over to personal injury?
So if you go way back, right, I was a total screw up as a kid. So 12 years old, right, I just had no direction. I was a mess. And I was fortunate. I had a couple of, I was basically kicked out of public school,
Yeah.
and went to a private school, which was like six kids in a class. And so I had two teachers, both Vietnam vets.
Yeah.
One, Ted Manville, who was probably 6'4", as wide as he was tall, and just an animal. And then his best friend, who was in Nam with him, Mr. Ring, who was smaller, but just as crazy. And so
Yeah.
the two of them really changed my life, right? So imagine you get picked up in the morning by a van driver, which happened to me, Teddy Manville, who was my history teacher. And then you get brought home every day by that guy. And then we used to go to his house. He built
Yeah.
a hockey rink in his basement. So I'd hang out with him during school, hang out with him after school. He did stuff with us on the weekend. Like he changed the direction of my life. And somehow through that experience over several years, he instilled in me the concept of giving back and helping others because he really changed my life. I saw him, how he changed other people's lives. And then by the time I turned 16, I was back in public school. I was only in that school for a few years, but I stayed in touch with him really my whole life growing up. And I decided to join a volunteer ambulance corps to really be able to give back to the community and help and make a difference. And that's really where it started.
And during that, so going from that service motion, right, whether it's an EMT or a police officer, and then getting your law degree and opening up a law firm, right? I know that you still do a lot where you give back to the community. You've been wildly successful in the law firm, and I've got to assume that there was some principles that you're operating under that might have taken root during that time. How did that experience translate into success in the legal profession?
Any business is about people, right? And so there's two groups of people. There's our customers, right? Our clients, and then there's the team. And so in the beginning, the team was me and one, then me and two, me and
Yeah.
three. Now the law firm alone is like me and 266 people.
Amen.
And so, I've never forgotten where I came from. I've never forgotten that the goal is to make a difference in other people's lives. And other people's lives is both taking care of the team, so having amazing culture and making sure we appreciate them, give them growth opportunities, give them leadership, really just build a place that they're proud to be and that I'm proud of. And then, of course, keeping everybody humble and remembering that the reason we're there and the reason we're successful is to take those same values and take care of our clients, right? So when a client is, whether they're injured in a personal injury case or they're seeking disability benefits as a veteran or someone for Social Security, they're in a really tough place in their life, right?
Right.
They've suffered either a catastrophic injury or they have a serious illness that's debilitating. The stress, the anxiety, inability to pay your bills, take care of your family. It's not just about maximizing their case and making sure that we get them every dollar they deserve. It's also about having someone who understands what you're going through, right? The support, being able to listen to your needs, being able to give you advice, and being there for you. And so combining all those things together over time is what's made us successful. And, I just this past weekend did some client testimonials. So we had a bunch of clients come in and we shot some video testimonials. And we had people there that we've helped with veterans benefits, Social Security benefits, personal injury cases. But the resounding message when I hear people talk is that Rob's a great guy because he's just like me, right? He's a regular guy. He listens, he answers my calls, he responds when I need something. And that's what I'm proud of most is that I'm there for the people, right? My goal is to help make a difference. And We didn't talk about it, but what ended my career as a police officer was a serious accident, right? So while I was working as a police officer, I got into a serious motor vehicle accident, two herniated discs in my back. I was in therapy for a year. My car was pushed another car into a building, so we went across the street and up into a building, and I can relate, right, to what it's like to have everything change in an instant, right? Everything's going on one trajectory. You have a plan and things are moving along, and then you wake up and everything's changed. My plan wasn't to run a law firm. My plan was to be a Fed, right? So I became a cop. I started to go to law school because I wanted to use that to either get into the FBI or the DEA, and that all ended. And so you play the cards you're dealt, and then I was told by three surgeons that there was no way I couldn't return to work after a year of therapy. They made me retire, and then I started practicing law. But I still get to help people every day.
What's interesting about that, and the reason I'm really enjoying this time is, so I spent a lot of time traveling the country talking with lawyers, and of course there's no shortage of lawyers who you know and they know you, and it's this you have this persona. You really do care about the people, and I do believe that genuinely. But in your colleague not but and in your colleagues' circles, they would describe you as that guy's freaking tough and smart, right? So you've got this very compassionate vibe going here, which doesn't jive with you can also be really tough. And I think part of those, well, you tell me, right? Part of those life experiences are, hey, representing people is not freaking easy work, right? And
Not at all, right? But so I'm also coaching law firms. So there's a different coaching lawyers than there is coaching clients and helping them with their injury, right? So, I mean, yes, my background made me a tough person. I used to be, for sure, an asshole. But through aging and raising girls and figuring out, you get more bees with honey, and creating great culture. I've definitely mellowed and changed, and I don't think anybody would describe me as an ass. Well, there's probably a long list of people that would still call me an asshole, but that is what it is. But I think the majority of people who really know me, right, I think for sure that I care. I want to make a difference, and that shows up in everything I do. But yes, I can be a hard ass.
You can. And what's cool though is, I always say if successful people in life, people who have achieved, the levels of success that you have, all of those people have a wake behind them of folks who are like super psyched on one side, then the other side is things didn't go well. And it's very, very seldom that group grounded in reality, right? You beat somebody on a case or you want a customer or you, that guy's an asshole, and it's, if you're not being polarizing, I always say to people, you either believe in something or you believe in nothing. And you're a principle-based person who believes in something, and not everybody loves that, right? And I think it's cool that you're very comfortable in your skin, both being tough and being empathetic. And I think those are unique traits to exist in the same human. So kudos to you for that. And then, which
And
leads me to the
it's also having wins and failures, right? You started to reference the failures, right? So I don't think there's anyone who's really successful that doesn't have a long list of failures, right? So you have to be willing to get up every day, and it's a new day, it's a fresh start. Yesterday didn't go necessarily the way I wanted it to, but you believe in the mission, right? You believe in putting one foot forward every day, keep moving forward. And when I help people, I try to make sure that I share, right, the mistakes that I've made, the failures that I've had. So when I'm coaching law firms, is yeah, that's probably not the best direction that you want to take. And I could tell you why, because here's the screw up and the mistake that we had. And this route is probably a higher chance of success than that route. And so, I mean, it is what it is. If you have cases, right, in the law firm, you're not going to win every case, right? It's just not the way it is. So you continue over 25 years, you continue to improve and you learn from your mistakes. And You try and do the best you can with the facts you have, and same thing with working with clients and law firms, and it's a learning process. It's a journey every day.
I get it. And what I want to switch gears a little bit, and what I'd like to do with the time that we have, I want to talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial ventures, and then I want to get into this concept of how you go about. So there's a lot of lawyers that listen to this program, right? And I'm always looking at national averages, and you and I have talked about this, right? The national average for the types of cases that you're typically settling. Produce X contingency fee. More importantly, they produce X settlement for clients. So I want to make sure that we get to that. But around, so you, th this is like the many dimensions of Rob Levine, right? So you've got compassionate Rob, you've got tough Rob, and now I want to talk about entrepreneurial Rob. So clearly, the law firm's doing pretty good. It's one of the largest law firms in New England. You're on the move into Boston and who knows where else, but yet you've still got this other gear where you're like, I got to do that too. So I want to talk about what types of entrepreneurial ventures do you have going on, and what's driving those now?
So, over the 25 years that we've building the law firm, we've had lots of experiences where we found other kinds of legal businesses that would help our own law firm. Most things I do started in the law firm, and then we expand it and make it available to other law firms. So really the first business that I started was the medical record retrieval company. And so what happened originally was I tried to use an outside company way back in the day. We were talking probably 15, 18 years ago, who came to us and said, "Hey, we can do a better job than you can collecting records." And it was like a great concept, but the worst experience I think we ever had with a vendor. Like everything was just a mess. Nothing went right. And but I what I took from that was we can do it better. And let's build our own company for our own law firm, just outside of the law firm. And so back then it was Record Retrievers. That was the name of the company that we first started with, which then became later Records on Time and now is part of Rob Levine Legal Solutions. And so what I realized was the law firm is really nothing other than a business, right? It's just a one type of business. And so if you're a lawyer and you have the desire to perfect your business or to grow your business and scale it, you have to treat it like a business. And so when I started to venture out and do other businesses, like the Record Retrievers, the first business, and then we opened up companies in other countries and started hiring people internationally. We built an international training academy so that we placed legal assistants, case managers, and intake people. Same idea, right? So we just treated that like any other type of business, and we started small and started to scale it. And we had friends that asking us to help them do it for their law firm. And then we started it as a placement company. So we hire people and train them for my business, and we hire people and train them and place them in other businesses. That was originally called Top Notch Remote Solutions. And then I've been in mastermind groups, God, probably 18 years. Probably when I was in about 7 years as a lawyer, I joined my first mastermind group, which was an amazing experience. And lots of lawyers helped me grow and learn and see things that I didn't really see. And then now I run my own mastermind group. And, to be able to help other law firms and give back to them and help them grow is an amazing experience, right? Learn from my mistakes, help people see different types of vision and projections, right? So if you're the CEO, you're the visionary. If you spend all your time in any business working in the business, how do you really grow? Right. If you don't sliding scale, if you're small, a three-man shop, and you have to practice law every day, I get it. I was there one time. But some amount of time every week has to get dedicated to working on the business. And you have to think about it, right? It takes time to say, what is my vision? Do I want to be a boutique law firm or do I want to be a monster? If I want to be a monster, I have to have a growth plan, right? So figure it out what it is you want to accomplish. And then, so being able to help people even just You'd be surprised how many lawyers you can ask, like, what's your goal? What do you want to do? What's the plan? They don't know, right? They're just, they're getting through the day, getting through the quarter, getting through the year. So to be able to help them figure out what's the next step, where do you want to be, and then build that with them, it's an amazing experience.
It is, and what's interesting about that is, so I've now been part of a few industries, right? Mortgage, insurance, elective medicine, plastic surgeons, that kind of thing, and now the legal profession. And this idea of a mastermind group, although I'm sure it exists in some other iterations, I haven't seen it in other industries. What's fascinating to me is the more top tier lawyers that I meet, particularly in personal injury, the more I realize how much that group values masterminds and their willingness to share their strategies in exchange to improve their own, right? And I have never seen that dynamic before, particularly with, you would never get, I love all my plastic surgery friends, I have many. The idea that they would get in a room and collude. Or not collude, but share and collaborate. Collaborate's
Yeah,
another word.
absolutely.
In legal, we don't use the word collude. So collaborate. I just think it's really cool that that group of men and women can, put their high profiles, right, their sense of self aside and go, I'm going to go learn. To me, that's the ultimate humility. And what's funny is it's the strongest freaking people that do it. That's
Right.
what blows me away.
I would agree that as a mastermind group within one profession, it's not very common. What you see way more commonly is a mastermind group, we'll call it mastermind group, of a varying group of professions, right? So like an organization like Vistage, which brings people together across all industries. Or I just joined this thing called Baby Bathwater. So Baby Bathwater is same concept, but it's all different industries that come together and share those experiences. Because like we started saying, a law firm is a business. And all businesses are built on the same foundation and same premise, right? So it's people, right? People, process. And so by sharing and helping each other, yeah, it is unique for law firms, I would say. I don't know that there's a lot of other industries where you see it, but it works. It's got definitely no question. Being in a mastermind group starting probably around when I was 7 years in, not sure I would be where I am today if it wasn't for having all of those great people around me, giving advice, having ideas, learning from other people. It's definitely helped shape us.
And I want to make sure that we give you an opportunity to invite. Are you currently open? Is your mastermind group open to new folks right now?
Yes, 100%.
Where would somebody go to find out about that that's
So
listening?
for any of the services we offer, if you go to RobLevineLegalSolutions.com. You would see on that web page about the record retrieval company, about our training academy and placement, about our mastermind group, our consulting. We do consulting.
Got it. So, and then as the last topic I wanted to cover, and I want to make sure I get this right, because you and I, as you know, I'm now out in the community making friends and signing clients and trying to be the best vendor partner that we could possibly be. And one of the discussions I was really fascinated by was when you and I were together talking in Salt Lake, and this concept that not all lawyers are playing at the same level, right? And I use the analogy that it feels like to me, passing the bar is like you got drafted, you're in the league, let's call it the NFL, you're in the league, right? But because I'm in New England, don't hate me for that, but not everybody is Tom Brady, right? There's quarterbacks who never start, they're never going to play. There's people who get, it's just not the same. And so you and I had this conversation about what the national averages are for, settlements, and by virtue of that, contingency fees, and that you're way ahead of those national averages by a fair amount. And what I was hoping to do with the time that we have left today, to the extent that you're comfortable, is, why is it so different? Why are you beating those averages? And what advice do you have for the lawyers listening to this program to replicate or to get closer to those higher outputs?
So let's start with your license. So passing the bar gives you the license to open your business, right? And the business you chose to open is a law firm. I wouldn't say that we're all in the NFL, right? So if we look at sports, right? Not necessarily football, but so we have the minor leagues and then the minor leagues. And so law school didn't teach you to run a business, right? It barely taught you how to practice law. It taught you how to think, right? How to read a lot of cases, how to think out of the box. But it didn't teach you the day-to-day of what you have to do to be successful. That's a choice. I think you got the license, and anyone is capable of being whatever they choose to be. It's about the plan, right? So if we start with the premise that, okay, I have my law license, I can practice, the first question you have to ask yourself is, what do I want to be, right? So what do I want? What do I stand for? What is my personal values, right? What is my vision? What's going to be the mission if I'm running my own law firm? Let's just assume we're going to run our own law firm. You got to come up with your vision, first of all. What do I stand for today? What do I want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And then you need to work at it. And so that's the first half of the conversation. I think anyone can do it. There's no doubt in my mind. Every day you see new law firms open up and they scale. And then lots of other law firms you see never get out of their own way. And that's just because they didn't really build a plan to do it, right? So just as you create a plan for your client's case, you have to build a plan for the law firm for growth to scale. So it's your choice. Now, not everybody wants to grow. Some people want to be small, and that's great. So you just decide what you want, figure out your vision. As far as beating the averages, as you described it, and growing our fees, which is, I assume, the direction you're going, and what is cases
And
worth?
more importantly, outcomes for the client, right? You're getting them all the money.
Right.
You're helping the injured party get what they're entitled to, not to be lost,
100%.
right? The fee
So,
is a byproduct.
right. 100%. And so you can either decide to start to build the client's case from day one, right? Or you simply let the case run itself. And at the end, right? And obviously, we're just talking about personal injury law at the moment. At the end, you draft this demand letter, which is a culmination of what took place in the case, send it to the adjuster, and then negotiate. And so if you let the case just run its course, you don't really build out your investigation up front. You don't really medically manage your client. You don't optimize everything that that client needs for treatment, which has two sides to it. One is you have a duty to zealously advocate for your client. Well, what does that really mean? Well, so there's the medical side. If I'm going to zealously advocate for you, I have a duty to make sure you're getting the right treatment, right? Our healthcare system is broken, right? I don't think there's very many doctors you could talk to that would disagree with that statement, right? The pressure that they get from health insurance companies, the time that they have to spend with clients because they have to produce enough fees to pay for their office, pay for their staff, pay for their living and life expenses, pay for their malpractice. It's upside down, right? So from day one, right? Even think about the match. You have people go to medical school and don't match. They can't even practice medicine because they couldn't match into a residency program. It's broken from day one, right? That's not an unheard of thing. And so if you take control of your client's case by really reviewing the records as they're coming in and determining what's going on with them, what do they need for treatment, making sure that they're seeing the right doctors, getting the right testing, finding what the objective results are, and then continuing to grow that, you're medically managing them. Because there's lots of doctors who just don't have the time. Not that they don't care, not that they're not great doctors, not that they're not going to do an amazing job for the client, but if you only have 5 minutes to spend with the client. Or the doctor sees the client on day one, complains of left shoulder pain, which they assume is because he was a seatbelted driver of a vehicle. And so they're thinking it was the seatbelt. And then the doctor doesn't see him. The NP does, or the PA does. And so the PA just follows the initial note, which is left shoulder pain, harness, seatbelt, rear end accident. And they don't give any consideration to that's necessarily a herniated disc in the neck that's just flaring up and has radiculopathy down into the shoulder. It gets missed. Things get missed all the time if someone else isn't spending the time necessarily with the client talking about what all the issues are. And clients are afraid to speak up in their doctor's appointment, right? They don't know what to say, what questions to ask. So you have to ask them, right? And so, right after being an EMT and then being a paramedic, right, when you ask someone, are you in pain? There's lots of people who say, no, I'm not having pain. Or you have any clicking, right? Do you have any discomfort, right? Is there anything that you can't do today that you did before the accident? So by asking questions in a different way, you get to the heart of the matter and figure out what they really need. Now, I'm sure we want to go to where we really are today and where we're going to be. Imagine accelerating that process with AI.
That
Now you're
was going to be my
talking about,
last question. What's your take on it? Everyone's talking about it. Let's just get it out there, right? How do you see AI empowering and enabling law firms to do just what you just said? And that clip is going to live on everything I do because I think it's the greatest advice I've heard for any lawyers ever. It's how to manage a case. And how is AI, how are you thinking about it?
So if we go back to the model that I just said, the problem is the lawyer is only involved in a small percentage of the case because you have paralegals and case managers. And we all have great team members working on our cases. But the problem is generally in law firms and in most businesses, we overwork people, right? So let's say you have a ratio of 100 cases to a paralegal, and let's say an attorney only has two paralegals. He still has 200 cases, and the paralegal has 100 cases. And that's a pretty reasonable number of cases, right? That's not some crazy number. There is law firms that have way more than that. And so they have every amazing intention to do the best thing for the client. But first of all, their medical knowledge is not very high. The paralegals and the case managers who are talking to the clients, right? They're not necessarily trained in how to ask the question three different ways, right? Because one word doesn't trigger it, maybe another word will. They're not sure when they're reading the medical records what they're actually checking. So do they have time to start Googling stuff and figuring out what the doctor meant and what conditions are and what they should be talking to the client about? Whereas fast forward, and we look at AI, you're talking about imagine having a conference table filled with experts. So you have one AI bot, or we'll use the term agent, who's the smartest lawyer in the room. And then you have another one who's the smartest orthopedic in the room, and another one who's your smartest neurologist in the room, and then you're the smartest radiologist in the room. And each one of those are highly trained to know everything there is to know. And now we feed our stuff into the system, right? So we're training it and getting it to review our client's case. And rolling back, we start with our investigation, right? So you have the smartest code guy, the smartest investigator, the smartest engineer, and my client fell down a flight of stairs. Okay, well, I don't know the code, right? I don't. Was that building supposed to have handrails or not? How high are the risers in the stairs? How wide are they? What's the lighting? But if I put in all this information, I'm going to get great stuff back. So my investigator goes out and I say, hey, here's the report from our system. This is what you should be looking for. Here's what I need you to measure. Here's what I need you to get me. Do all this stuff. Then I take his stuff and feed it back into the system and say, here's all my data from everything you told me to look for. What do you have to say? Oh, well, this isn't up to code. This is missing. This is a problem. So I'm building my case from day one, getting my pictures, building the what I need to prove for negligence, right? And
Yep.
so same thing on my damages. My system is telling me, hey, this person might have a possible TBI. You should send them the Philadelphia test. So I send them the test, feed that back into my AI system. Hey, what do you have to say? Oh, well, based on these results, we definitely need a workup. We need to have a neurologist. We need to have this test. We need to have that test. So if you don't embrace AI, you're going to get left behind because it's going to create better outcomes. It's going to speed up the process. It's going to see things and think of things that you weren't able to think of. And that's today. AI
Right.
is changing, people say on a daily basis, but in reality, right? So monthly, quarterly, the leaps and bounds that we see in a year from now. If you haven't already entrenched it into your workflow and start training your people to use it and building your law firm based on where we're going, it's going to be hard to keep up.
Well, it sounds to me like everything else that you do. You've got a plan. You're a forward-thinking guy, and that's what I love about you. And I really enjoyed our time today. And like I said, it's the many dimensions of Rob Levine: compassionate, tough, skilled negotiator, entrepreneur, visionary, and one of the best ops guys I think the legal profession is going to see for a long time. And I hear that a lot from your colleagues. So kudos to you. I really appreciate it. And if you had one thing, if you said, you know what, Tim, if I went back in time to when I was 25 years old and I wanted to take over the world and I was smashing everybody in the head, what's the one thing you might have done differently that you'd give advice to the new shiny modern day lawyer?
Oh God. Wow. So I probably would have, when I talk about saying build a plan, right? Know what your future vision is and then plan to accomplish that goal. It took a long time to figure out our brand, right? What we were going to market, where we wanted to be. And that's not an easy thing to do, right? If you have a coach, it's 100%. Actually, that's probably what I would say. Get a coach. Get someone who can give you direction, help you see what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and then help you build a roadmap to get there. To be able to do it on your own from scratch, it's hard, right? I mean, I made a, in my first 5 years of practice, I tried doing a million different things, a million different directions, and had a million failures. And sure, lots of successes came from that. But if in that first 7 years before I joined a mastermind group, if I had joined it day one, that would have accelerated the process tremendously.
And fortunately, we don't have to go it alone, right? There's people like you. So again, as we wind down, it's where would you want folks to go to meet your team and
RobLevineLegalSolutions.com.
RobLevineLegalSolutions.com. And certainly encourage everyone to visit Rob. Want to thank everybody for taking time today. Obviously, want to say thank you to you, Rob. Just final shout out to our sponsor, Faster Outcomes, the ultimate AI legal intelligence platform for law firms of all shapes and sizes. And I think Rob's got a pretty good take on AI. So we hope to see you out and about the country. And we all appreciate you joining us today. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.